Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
Attorney, radio, talk show host, Fox News contributor Ebony Williams.
On this side of the law.
Both sides have extremists.
On that side of the law.
To the millions, I feel this is problematic.
Turn it up!
Every story in the city matters. Every moment of the day matters. Every conversation matters. Curtis and Ebony. Curtis Sliwa.
Now putting aside the politics.
And Ebony K. Williams.
They don't make Band-Aids for hurt feelings.
The stories. The moments. The conversation.
I fought the law and the law won.
The new midday show. 77 WABC.
Minutes after the hour 12, as we are high atop Madison Square Garden in the great facilities provided to us by this broadcast by NJDiet.com. This was the song that we began our show yesterday with Ebony K. Williams, K standing for Kardashian. And it was all to hype my return to the Fox News channel, which I hadn't been at in a month of Sundays. Ever since I had declared Donald Trump as candidate Trump to be a crackpot schoolboy, manic depressive, and the George Steinbrenner of American politics, I was persona non grata. But because you are a fixture on the specialist show that is watched every Monday through Friday from 5 to 6, you were able to nudge me in as part of the panel discussion.
Yeah, I made a couple calls.
And my specialist's credentials were not recognized. A specialist in love, having had a number of relationships that went south, a world pickle-eating champion on four occasions. That specialization was not realized, although being shot and survived was eventually towards the end of the show.
Because I ask you that, because you was all in your feelings when we opened the show yesterday about how they won't acknowledge I'm the pickle-eating champion. They won't acknowledge that I'm most successful because of my failed marriages. So I gave you a nice opportunity, Curtis, which you took, to let everyone know that you were a specialist.
Although there was a few points in the hour show, and that's what's great about the show. You get a full hour there. You're not just part of some Hollywood Squares talking heads, four people jammed together within a 10-minute segment.
Nice.
And maybe you have 30 seconds to inhale, exhale, and then the next thing you know, they're on to the next segment, and you're back in the green room packing up whatever cookies and cakes you can shove in your pockets. So you got.
So that's where all the snacks from the green room went.
That's right, because then when you get stuck in the subway for an hour or more, at least you have something for munchies.
That's hilarious, Curtis.
There was a lot of hype about my return to the Fox News Channel. I want to thank you, Ebony K. Williams, for paving the way. And boy, it was turbocharged right from the start.
Well, thanks to who? Yours truly.
Well, you know what happens.
Yours truly.
I am lens lice. The moment I see the light go on, it's like I'm driving a funny car in a drag race, and the countdown is 10, 9, 8, 7, and I'm starting to burn rubber already. And the point when it goes green, I am tearing up the asphalt. And your poor other co-specialist, gent from the UK, was used to being interviewed on the BBC.
He's very dapper. Mr. Douglas Murray.
That's right, having his tea and crumpets. His eyeballs fell right out of his eye sockets. The moment we started talking about North Korea, and I called it behind the kimchi curtain of the evil seed of Kim Jong mentally ill, he's trying to figure out what the hell is Lee we're talking about.
Yeah, you're like Kim Jong mentally ill. He was like, wait, say what? Did he get a name change? It was hilarious. What was great, though, who also saw your return to the Fox News Channel, hashtag don't call it a comeback, was our fellow WABC family member, Imus. And he had a lot to say, particularly the first thing. I'm going to need Imus to get my name right because he's struggling on this, Curtis.
Curtis Sliwa was on The Specialist on Fox. You know that thing that, what's that woman's name he works with? Ebony? What's her name?
That's Ebony.
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 Very good.
She's pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well,
I love it.
He gave you props.
He gave me some props.
He's normally contrarian. He can be a curmudgeon, but he gave you, hey, he said, oh, she's pretty good.
I appreciate that from Mr. Imus. And I love Sid in the background. Oh, that's Ebony.
You don't mind if I call you Ebony any longer, do you?
Not at all, Kubani. It's fine. We're gonna have all kinds of monikers that we're gonna be able to use.
It's the Kerbeny Show, right?
It's the Kerbeny Show.
Right, right.
That's a thing.
All right, so I botulized the name first, so he's given license.
Okay.
So at least he introed you to the WABC family, because remember, he starts out today. He leads, the rest of us follows,
yes,
in a very positive way.
Yeah, great numbers.
It's great. What do you have to say about me? I heard what he had to say about you. I'm more interested in what he had to say about me.
He actually had great things to say about you. There was another person on the panel that he had less than stellar reviews for.
Kinda the people like on the show, Ebony.
Right.
Ebony, and what's the other woman's name?
Catherine Timpf.
Cat.
So she says to Curtis, do you have any more tracksuits that you wear?
Oh, that's a fair question.
Tracksuits.
So, unaware, I guess, that it's a guardian angel, that it is his guardian angel garb. Why is this funny?
Oh, boy.
Oh, that's enough. Okay.
That's terrible.
So Curtis took it well and handled it well, rather than pointing out what a moron she was. I mean, you can't be in New York and not recognize the guardian angels, can you? Or know what that represents?
No, you got to know, especially if you're in the journalist.
You can't refer to what Curtis is wearing as a tracksuit like he's Al Sharpton.
Yeah. He's your best friend, Curtis. You and Al Sharpton.
Al Slim Shady Sharpton of the National Action Hate Network. But when she first asked me that question, if you remember.
What was going through your mind? Because I saw your face looked a little puzzled.
I heard her say what I thought was tracksuit, and I said, no, she couldn't have said tracksuit. So remember, I asked her to repeat it.
Sure.
And then she said tracksuit, and that's when I just broke on her. And I said, wait a second, you see this red sateen jacket and the red beret? I said, look, I've bled out in this. I've been stabbed. I've been shot in it, you see, and that's why it doesn't show the blood on the, quote, tracksuit. I don't think she caught the humor in that.
I don't think she did, to her defense. I think she legitimately doesn't understand the fact that you are an institution. You are new, because she's from Detroit, right? So let's give her that. She's from Detroit. Now, I knew who you were. I understood, even though I'm a new Jack, as you like to call me, new to New York, been here 3 years. I've actually seen you in action in the subway while you're keeping us all safe. Mm. So I recognize, you know, game recognizes game. I knew exactly what the get down was. But I do think there's an interesting question around your, quote, tracksuit. And that is, you know, everybody knows Curtis wears his suit, the red beret, the red jacket, 24/7. Is there ever a time that you take it off? And I thought this was a very pointed question as to if there's at least one opportunity you take it off, and it would have to be this.
But Curtis was there with his guardian angel uniform.
Of course.
What funny said?
It is funny. No matter where he goes,
everywhere
he
sleeps with it.
He goes to weddings.
Yes.
Well, why wouldn't? I mean, why wouldn't he wear the guardian angel?
Yeah. What else?
Uniform. What else would he wear?
Well, nothing else.
Plus, they're national heroes. They're certainly New York heroes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But wouldn't you agree with that?
Of course.
Navy SEAL. Why is he wearing his uniform? Because he's a Navy SEAL.
Come on, Sid.
Yeah, you may wear the Guardian Angel thing because you're the head of the Guardian Angels.
Does he take it off in bed?
Stop.
When he's having sex?
That. We're not going to sleep with him, Sid. You might.
Well, I want to ask him. Does he leave the beret on? Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why he keeps getting divorced. It's a little freaky.
All right. People want to know, Curtis.
It can't be freaky deaky. I've fallen asleep many times
with
in my red sateen jacket and my red beret.
Got it.
Many
and do
times.
You have other clothes? Because I think that's what the inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah, I have other clothes. Well, you've seen me in here when my colitis hits and I start heating up.
Yeah.
I break out of my red beret. I break out
like
of my
Superman.
Red sateen jacket, right? And
yeah.
It's just all black. I'm like Johnny Cash wearing all black.
It is like Johnny Cash.
Right, and trying to just schwitz it out so that I don't end up getting taken to the ER. But that's a rare occasion.
No,
that's a rare occasion. This is like my banky.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sweet, Curtis.
Oh, see, I'm actually
look at the soft
this,
side.
This
of Curtis.
Is like my banky. You know, it's my comfort zone. When I wear my red beret and my red jacket, my red guardian angel jacket, I feel a comfort zone. When I actually dress up in my Slob Slabinski other outfits, I no longer am in my comfort zone.
It just doesn't feel right. No, I get that. Did you have fun on The Specialist, though? Because we certainly enjoyed having you.
I not only had fun, but I was taken on a time machine because afterwards, because we had a host of folks who decided to bum rush the facility from our WABC staff. We had Justin B. Love, who should have been here for the Drive Home at 5 show. I don't know how he was able to negotiate his way out. And then naturally, there was Mr. Mangalucci here. Brian Mongoluch with his man bun, his skinny jeans, and his Chuck Taylor Converse sneakers. He showed up. Then there was Chelo, Chad Lopez, the capo de tutti of all of our stations
the
here at Cumulus.
Pretty boy executive extraordinaire.
Right, yeah. And Craig Schwab, our program director. They muscled their way into the proceedings, and they were the peanut gallery cheering you on and booing me and grimacing every time I spoke.
Oh, no. They were so excited for you, Curtis.
I know. They hate when I use the term moolah shmoolah. Because when remember I said it's all about the moolah shmoolah. I looked over at Craig Schwab's face and Chelo Chad Lopez's face, and they were wincing. They were grimacing that I was using that kind of terminology on the Fox News channel.
Oh, they loved it.
But then as we were leaving, I'm looking at this young guy who's now gotten older, and it's Ron Mitchell. Ron Mitchell, who had been an intern for me back when I was hosting the morning show with my wife at the time, Lisa, it was Angels in the Morning. He was a student at the film school at NYU, the Scorsese Film School. And he was actually here to intern with another talk show host at that time, Jay Diamond. And Jay Diamond was doing a show at night. And he was in the studio right where I'm sitting now. And obviously he had the board operator and a phone screener. But Ron Mitchell was assigned all the way to a side studio. So as I'm roaming the floor, I'm thinking, hey, maybe this guy is stealing laptop computers or something. So I walk in on him and say, who are you? He goes, oh, I'm Ron Mitchell. What are you doing here? I'm an intern. I'm here for the Jay Diamond Show. I said, why are you sitting in this studio? Because Jay doesn't want me in the same studio he's broadcasting in. I said, you're kidding. He said, no, he doesn't want to look at me. He doesn't want to see me. He doesn't want to hear hilarious. Me breathing. Jay Diamond actually thought he could hear Ron Mitchell breathing, even though Ron was on the other side of the glass, which proves that all of us in talk radio, exempting you, part Meshuggah, part Ubats, we have the furniture upstairs rearranged in the wrong rooms.
Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Right,
sure.
We dance to our
own. A non-existent beat.
Exactly, our own band. So he didn't want him, although it was like he was an indentured servant. So I said to Ron, why don't you come to the morning show? We'll treat you better than this. So I stole Ron Mitchell for the morning
show.
There
you go again.
He interned for us. He became the producer of the show, even as I was fired. And I wonder, you traditor, how come you're not walking out the door with me?
No, oh, please. Anybody going to miss their coins messing around with you, Curtis?
Right, but he was going places. He then ended up transferring to the Fox News Channel, was the producer for the O'Reilly Show until its demise. And then I learned yesterday that he has just been elevated to the vice president of programming at the Fox News Channel. That's like, there's Murdoch, and now there's Mitchell, right?
Well, not quite. But no, he's absolutely an executive now, senior level. He's a suit and a muckety-muck, as you would say.
Let me tell you, over the years, right, he would have his headphones on. I would see him in Herald Square. He'd be walking past me. Now, I know he spotted me in the red beret and the red
satin.
It's like I'm a person of no consequence. All of a sudden, he's a big macha, muckety-muck at the Fox News Channel. I say, hey, Ron, remember me? Remember when you were just a lowly intern from the NYU Scorsese Film School? And all of a sudden, Curtis, how you doing?
That was sweet. No, Ron Mitchell's a great, great guy. He was the senior producer on the O'Reilly Factor. And I have to say, personally, he was hugely instrumental, Curtis, in me becoming a contributor at Fox News. When I was coming out of my CBS News contract, I'd reached out to Ron specifically because we'd always had a very good rapport. He's very good with relationships with talent. And I said, you know, I kind of miss Fox News. I'd really interested in talking about coming back. And he set up the meeting with me, O'Reilly, and Tabakoff.
You got entree because you're Ebony Kardashian Williams.
Ebony Kardashian Williams.
I was there when he was birthed, his baptism in this business. And all of a sudden, I was on the outside looking in.
No, he was thrilled to see you. I saw that look on his face.
Yesterday. No, it was a good return. It was a good day on the specialist.
Did you feel like a proud papa, you know, looking at his assistant?
And I was happy that we broke the embargo. I was happy that I could finally return to the Fox News Channel, which on occasion I had appeared in over the years.
Well, you two were having a full-fledged bromance. It was ridiculous.
It was like we were in our man cave. We were completely, totally misogynistic, ignoring
you. It was like
you,
I wasn't even there.
Ignoring Kat, ignoring the Brit who was having his tea and crumpets, and we were just talking about the Chicago Cubs and the Chicago White Sox. It was great.
And your hatred for
Hopefully,
the Mets.
Hopefully, maybe a year or two from now, you'll have me back.
No, I'll have you back sooner than that because it was super fun. And you brought the whole WABC entourage.
Let's see if there are any listeners out there who are actually multitasking and watching the Fox News Channel, The Specialist, last night and would like to critique my return to the Fox News Channel, courtesy of Ebony K. Williams. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. That's right. You're listening to the brand new Midday Show, 12 to 3, Monday through Fridays, right here on your place to be, WABC.
You for your midday.
Ebony Williams is here.
Curtis and Ebony, exclusively.
Bring the noise!
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
Curtis Sliwa was doing his thing yesterday on the Fox News Specialist, his return to the good Fox News Channel.
Would you say that it was a three snaps up appearance on my part?
You did that brilliantly and like you've done it before, and I would give you three snaps and a twirl, Curtis.
Well, actually, you can go to WABCradio.com/live. You can see Ebony in her splendor and me, as you typically do, in the red beret and the red sateen jacket that became a focus last night on my specialist appearance.
Huge focus. And you know, you were such a diva before the appearance, Curtis, regulating that nobody wear red because, you know, you wanted to have your shine on. I think I'm going to designate you, and we're going to do this on the Curtis and Ebony Show Monday through Friday, 12 to 3. Moving forward, time to time, I'm going to call on you to play like a Jones River type. I'm going to have you be the Fox News Specialist Fashion Review with Curtis Sliwa. We're going to do that.
Fashionista commentary by Curtis Sliwa.
I like it. So let's now take our call. Callahan, this is the Ramsey Subaru Hotline. Callahan from New Jersey. You're on with Curtis and Ebony.
I'm on the hotline. All right, listen. Curtis, have you thought about developing a new line?
A fashion line?
That's right. You could have a whole new line. Listen, you could raise lots of moolah shmoolah, and you could have variations.
Now, are they all going to be red, Callahan, or are they going to be different colors?
I would stick with the... Maybe the red could be a little dangerous in certain areas, but
like Compton.
I would go with different colors, but always have that insignia. And you could have kids and adults who want to be a guardian angel.
No, I like that. Hey, wait a second, you mongolooch. I like this idea, Callahan.
You can talk to my people.
Well, wait a second. What do you mean talk to your people?
Further.
Oh, I think Callahan wants a cut. That's what she's getting at. Yeah,
I mean,
okay. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. She wants a moolah shmoolah.
Okay. All right.
Listen,
Callahan.
I think it's a great idea, and I'm putting my name on it.
All right. Well, stay on the line, Callahan.
I was inspired by you, and I think this is going to help the kids. It's going to help. Yes, I will stay on the line, the hotline.
This is what I want to happen. Because since I am a target sometimes in the red beret and red sateen jacket, I want our news guy, Ken Duffy, to actually put the red beret, red sateen jacket on all of a sudden people are gunning for me. I will stare at you from the 17th floor as you walk out the doors.
Don't do it, Ken Duffy.
Funny.
Don't you do it, Ken Duffy.
And then,
this is a
setup.
If the
coast is clear, I'll know it's okay for me to
go
scram the other way.
Your proxy? What is this? You trying to set poor Ken Duffy up?
It's quite all right.
You know.
It's quite all right. I hate his news, and I hate the fact that he's a degenerate Met fan, so this will be my vengeance on him.
It's a setup, Duffy. Don't do it. Do not fall for it. Do not fall for it.
Instead, it's time for our news headlines,
Ken. Let's get to that.
Bring the noise!
Studio View and WABCRadio.com.
In the spirit of trying to connect.
A great way to see an angel and a beauty.
There's no doubt.
Take a listen. Take a listen. Take a peek.
Turn it up!
Curtis and Ebony, 77 WABC.
And we're back with the brand new Curtis and Ebony Show. And many New Yorkers, man, we're just trying to survive. Summer is officially here, started yesterday, a beautiful, longest day of daylight that we will see, nice warm temperatures. But I'll tell you where it's too hot, and that is on those subway platforms. As a new New Yorker, I take them every single day from here, high atop Madison Square Garden, all the way to uptown. And I will tell you, Curtis, our governor, he already told us what it was going to be.
It will be a summer of hell for commuters.
Ah, isn't that lovely? And apparently, Curtis, it's such a summer of hell for commuters that, well, he's prepared to give a discount, but only to certain people. Only if you take the Long Island Railroad Express, railway, and then you have to reroute your destinations to avoid Penn Station, your favorite place in the world, and then you have to get back on the subway, and then you don't get a discount for that commute.
Well, it's Cuomo technology. Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo, King Cuomo II, the son of Mario Faccia Bruta Cuomo, King Cuomo I, is using this political technology to make you believe as a Long Island Railroad, Dashing Dan or Dashing Danielle, that he's doing you a solid. When in fact he's saying, I don't want you traveling in and out of Penn Station in the summer. I want you to take the Long Island Railroad to Woodside Station in Queens where you transfer to the 7. But the 7
then
is
you're on the 7.
Right, with delays. Or you take a separate line that'll take you to the Atlantic Avenue Station, the Barclays Center. That's where the Long Island Railroad last stop is in Brooklyn. And then you got to figure out your way on the IND, the BMT, the IRT that all merge there. And they're all fraught with delays. The only trains, apparently, that have not suffered massive delays in the system so far is the Hipster Express, the L train, and the accompanying G train. That's because the hipsters pay their fare, so they're going to make sure that the hipsters and millennials get their service. The rest of us are screwed. So that's Cuomo technology. And then he tries to force at the last minute a piece of legislation through the state senate and the state assembly, which is prepared to pretty much fold its tent as of Friday, in which he is saying that I want more control of the MTA, which I already control. I want more board members assigned to me. I want more votes. I want to take control lock, stock, and barrel. And yet he's done a lousy job to date. And everyone is saying the MTA, the money-taking agency, it's been a disaster. And then just look yesterday on the F train, in the middle of rush hour. F train is stuck between 23rd Street and 34th Street, Herald Square. It's the local train on that line. And people were stuck in the tunnel between stations for more than a half hour. So two of the passengers decide, that's it, we're bailing out. We're going to jump out in between the cars, and we're going to walk the tracks the rest of the way to Herald Square, 34th Street, and then we're going to hop on the platform, and we're going to get our way to work because we're already running late. And now the MTA is making a big deal about it. It's dangerous. They could have hit the third rail. You can't do that. And I was relating to you just last night at the Fox News channel just before we departed from doing the specialist. There was a time when Sean Hannity, who used to do a show here, got on an R train with me to head uptown.
That must have been a long time ago because Hannity's on the private jets these days.
And we got stuck between, I think it was Fifth Avenue and 59th Street Lex on the R train. And I said to Hannity after more than a half hour, it was about 40, 45 minutes, hey, I'm getting out of here. Follow me into the tracks. And I opened the door, and I jumped over the impediment, and I was ready to head down on the tracks. And he said, come back here. I'm not going down on the tracks. Are you crazy? I said, no. I'm a subway rat. I was birthed in my baptism in fire in the subways. I know all the ins and outs. Don't worry. You're only in danger if you hit the third rail or if you cross over into the reverse tracks, and an incoming train turns you into a speed bump. So he decided to not follow me. And I got back on the train, and we waited until eventually the train was able to pull in at 59th and Lexington Avenue.
So it's not just you, Curtis. Apparently it's being reported that a lot of New Yorkers are so desperate at this point, and they're fed up with the delays. They're fed up with the no answers, hearing that stupid, annoying train traffic crap, which we know is crap because they'll say the same thing over and over again. And they are doing the same thing, Curtis. People are literally either plying the doors open or they're going through the pass doors and they are getting out. So I was thinking, because we talk about this so much here on the Curtis and Ebony Show. And by the way, if you've got your own horror story about the MTA or any of this other horrific traffic delay stuff, call us at the Winer Commuter Hotline, 212-613-3878. That's 212-613-3878. And Curtis, I was thinking legitimately, I was on the train the other day and I said, you know, I do two live shows every day here, WABC, and then also on Fox News Channel. And I said, what if I found myself, because I take the train to get everywhere I'm trying to go. What if I found myself late to one of my live television or live radio appearances and just had to get out? I would have been down with you in the Hannity story you just told.
That's
because
right.
I would have had to. Because what are you going to do? You got to get there. You got to get in front of the mic. You got to get in front of the camera. I would have to run the risk of losing my dear life up against a live third rail or whatever I have to. You got to do what you got to do.
Well, let me ask you,
it's unacceptable.
There, Would that be the proper thing to do, what Ebony K. Williams has described, to abandon ship in this case?
Absolutely.
The F train. Now, two times it's been stuck in the tunnels, incapable of moving for 45 minutes to an hour.
Ladies and gentlemen, we apologize for the unavoidable delay.
Yeah, right. You're always apologizing as he runs the loop over and over, as you're schwitzing, as the lights go off or they flicker, and the air conditioning
goes out, and you're wondering what's the real issue, because you know it ain't no daggone train traffic.
And that's then there's an emotionally disturbed person who is screaming and yelling because naturally they think it's the end of the world. They think it's rapture. Pass the ammunition. They're prepared to go down fighting. So what would be wrong with Ebony K. Williams bailing out? She is not like yours truly, knowledgeable about all the ins and outs of the subways.
No, I'm not. I've been
and
with
her 6-inch stacked heels, negotiating her way on the tracks to the platform, where I'm sure some gentlemen or others would haul you up to the platform so you can make your way topside and get to your designated location. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. And I'll let you know this. More people are going to have to do this. Because if you notice in today's newspapers reporting how the two jumped off the stuck train, the F train, the MTA is more upset about two people doing this than they are about their perpetual delays and their failure to maintain the system and repair the system.
No, Curtis, they want us to eat it. They want everybody to just get okay with it. But many of us can't get okay with it, right? First of all, some people are getting sick on these trains. They got to get out of there. And like I said, everybody's job, it's not just, I'm going to be late to the office. No, I don't have the option of being late, Curtis. You don't have the option of being late. We got to get live in front of these microphones every day, 12 o'clock for you, 12 and 5 p.m. And I got to be live on set at Fox News at 5 p.m., period.
And in addition to Andrew Evilize Cuomo, King Cuomo II, the son of Mario Faccia Bruta Cuomo, King Cuomo I, he now wants even more control of the money-taking agency. He wants more appointments, more patronage positions that he can dole out. Because he says, if you give me that in the waning days of the state legislative session in Albany, I'll be able to fix the system. I'll be able to repair it. I'll be able to maintain it. I'll be able to turn it from a third world subway system into a first world subway system that we can all be proud of. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's quickly go, if we can, to Ben, who I believe is calling from Yonkers. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here on WABC. Ben?
Hey, Curtis. Nice to talk to you. When you walked the train tracks, how filthy did you get? I know when anytime I got stuck on there or the platform, it came out like a coal miner.
No. It's a lot of flotsam and jetsam. There's a lot of swill between the tracks because the maintenance crews don't go out there and clean it up as they used to years ago. It used to be you go out there with a shovel and you pick the swill up and you put it off out of the tracks. But no, you're going to get dirty. There's no doubt about it.
Okay, just to let people know, no high heels either, right?
Well, that's the problem. Ebony K. Williams.
I know. Crap, I'm thinking now.
Wears those 6-inch stacked stiletto heels. That's good for getting the rats and good for getting the cockroaches.
Stab them along the way.
Right.
Did you see Jimmy Hoffa when you were down there?
No Jimmy Hoffa. I didn't see any other dead bodies, but I did see a lot of rats, and not the rats who testify as cooperating witnesses, but rather the four-legged rats that are so big, Ebony, because they feed off of all the garbage that's left down on the tracks, that you could put a saddle on them and you could ride the rest of the way on the tracks to the platform.
I was going
to
say, well, maybe that's my answer. Maybe I just saddle up and ride from here to Fox News Channel.
In fact, that'll work. Sometimes, like right there at 50 Rockefeller Center, where you get off to go do the special, it's at Fox News Channel. I have seen rats jump on the end of the platform and do the Harlem Shake and the Crip Dance.
No, you have not.
Yes, I have.
You are so full of it,
Curtis. No, dancing and prancing because they got it like that. Yeah. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. It's Curtis and Ebony here. It's your place to be every Monday through Friday, 12 to 3 on WABC.
Imus in the morning.
So far, so good.
And Curtis and Ebony.
You've got good gangs and bad gangs.
I'm going to give it to them.
On air, online, on the app.
This is really good, isn't it?
77 WABC.
To the phones we go. Do you abandon your subway car and walk through the tracks as two stranded passengers did yesterday on another F train that was stalled in the tunnel between 23rd and 34th and Herald Square? Let's go to Susie in Queens. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here on WABC. Susie?
Yeah,
Yeah, hi, Curtis. Curtis, I want to say a condolence to you and your family about the passing of your mother.
Thank you.
But I'm sure when you think and you talk about her, it's like a celebration of life. She had the glorious 94 years and was very blessed.
Thank you.
And I want to say I've been a fan for you forever. I remember you in the early days. I used to get dressed going to work. And then when I came into work, the group of us would gather together and we'd all talk and we'd say, what did the mayor say this morning? We referred to you as the mayor because we felt that you had a lot of CIs. And you had your fingers on the pulse of the city, and everything you said, we'd come in and discuss it and say, you know what he said this morning? And say, damn it, he was right on target. I really miss you. I really missed you after you went off early in the morning, and I thought it was a disgrace of what they did.
But look, it came back, took a licking, came back ticking. But you had an experience. You went into the tracks, right?
Yes. A few years ago, remember when the city went black?
Oh, yeah.
I was on the ground on the train. And luckily for us, it was a very hot summer day, but the car wasn't full with people, and the air conditioner still worked. And then finally, we had the firemen and the police come on, and they said, listen, we're going to have to lead you out through the manhole. So they said, we go on the tracks, we're going to, you know, form a boundary, so don't go beyond us. Stay within the boundaries. And as we climbed out of the train, we had to be very careful, you know, and then the rats were scurrying all over the place. And then they led us to the ladder, you know, for the manhole. And the ladder was not a ladder that leaned and slanted. It was a ladder that goes straight up. And it was so difficult to climb until you got up to the manhole and then people pulled you out. And then you had to, you know, in the middle, it turned dark at that point. So there you were running around the streets trying to get home. And as the trucks were passing, you know, the ones that have the back, the flatbeds.
Sure.
People were just jumping on top of each other. The buses were stopping, and people were just pulling people onto the
buses.
Well,
you see, everyone was accommodated because they understood it was an extreme emergency, and all the powers that be made sure that people were safely ferried from the stranded subway cars. Well, they're going to have to start opting to do that on a regular basis because King Cuomo II, Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo, just doesn't have a clue how to fix the MTA.
Bring the noise!
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
Attorney, radio, talk show host, Fox News contributor Ebony Williams.
On this side of the law.
Both sides have extremists.
On that side of the law.
To the millions, I feel this is problematic.
Turn it up!
Every story in the city matters. Every moment of the day matters. Every conversation matters. Curtis and Ebony. Curtis Sliwa.
Now putting aside the politics.
And Ebony K. Williams.
They don't make band-aids for hurt feelings.
The stories. The stories. The moments. The conversation.
I fought the law and the law won.
The new midday show, 77 WABC.
Open Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. Open Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. Open Gangnam Style.
7 minutes after one, and we're sitting cool in the shade, high atop Madison Square Garden in these lovely facilities brought to us by NJDiet.com. This is the brand new Curtis and Ebony show. And we're coming in with one of Curtis's favorite songs. He's such a jamster. But, you know, this issue with North Korea. We talked about it yesterday at Curtis's appearance on the Fox News specialist. He was very on point with what he thought would be a sound solution there. And someone else speaking about how to fix this tragedy that is North Korea, such a crazy, crazy regime over there. So crazy, in fact, that it resulted in the death of a young man, Otto Warmbier. And, you know, when all else fails in politics, I think the sound thing that most people like to do is just blame Obama. You know, it's everything's Obama's fault, certainly, right? Trump certainly singing that tune.
I just wanted to pass on word that Otto Warmbier has just passed away. He spent a year and a half in North Korea. A lot of bad things happened, but at least we got him home to be with his parents, where they were so happy to see him, even though he was in very tough condition. But he just passed away a little while ago. It's a brutal regime, and we'll be able to handle it.
So that was the initial statement from President Trump around the senseless passing and tragic, really killing of this young man, UVA student no less, so I felt an ACC connection there. But couldn't leave well enough alone, oftentimes, as our president does. He had to go take it further and bring in the politics of everything.
It's a total disgrace what happened to Otto. That should never, ever be allowed to happen. And frankly, if he were brought home sooner, I think the result would have been a lot different. He should have been brought home that same day.
Okay, nice. So it's Obama's fault. Well, the good news there is the president, President Trump, well, he'll have his own opportunity to see if he can do better than Obama did. Because I'm not saying Obama did a great job, but I'm really not certain what would have been better. But we actually still have three United States citizens that are in North Korea right now. And they need to be brought back home. So, President Trump, since you can do so much better than President Obama with the crazy nut job we know as Kim Jong-un, or as Curtis calls him, Kim Jong mentally ill. Let's see what Trump can do, Curtis.
Well, it's interesting that he would cast aspersions on the former president, Barack Obama, over this, because there has been a recipe for getting hostages back, prisoners back. And you got to understand, first it had to do with the father of the evil seed of Kim Jong mentally ill. He always wanted to be stroked. He always wanted to be felt important, even though he also was a cast character of Mayhem who was in constant need of attention. So remember when, I think it was Laura Ling and Yuna Lee were over there in Korea.
I do remember.
I think it was Laura Ling who was seeking the release of Yuna Lee. And nothing was working. So then all of a sudden, Bill Clinton ends up going over and reuniting the sisters and getting them released from the gulag of Kim Jong mentally ill. Remember, there was that famous photo. People were wondering, is that really Bill Clinton with Kim Jong mentally ill, or is that a body double? Nobody could quite figure it out. But you see, the leader of North Korea, the despotic, tyrannical leader, got stroked to the fact that the former president would go to retrieve this hostage.
Yeah, made him feel special.
He
got his shine
him.
On. Yeah.
So Bill Richardson has done so before on behalf of families. And again, Kim Jong mentally ill felt stroked. So the evil seed will feel just as stroked if a person of high prominence in the American scene, maybe it could be Bill Clinton. Maybe it could be former Vice President Al Gore.
It seems like he's got a relationship with Crazy Rodman.
Right, or maybe it could be Hillary Rodham Clinton. Who knows?
Oh, Lord.
Whomever. But if Donald Trump were to employ any of these high-profile Americans to go there, he might well negotiate the release of the three Americans without having to pay tribute, without having to bribe for their release or pay a bounty for their release. But it's sort of like use the old-fashioned recipe. We've seen it used before. It can be used again. But don't blame Barack Obama, the former president, for not being able to secure the release of Otto or any of the three others who are in the gulags behind the kimchi curtain of North Korea. Anyway, let's open up our phone lines on that, ladies and gentlemen. Should this have been the job of the former president, Barack Obama, or should the present president, Donald Trump, put up or shut up and try to engineer the release of the three remaining Americans who were held hostage by the North Koreans in their gulags? Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
I want to point this out, too, Curtis, because clearly in that statement we played, Trump doesn't say Obama's name, but it's blatant that he's throwing Obama under the bus on this typical Monday morning quarterback move from President Trump. So it prompted Obama to make his own statement about this, saying, of course, quote, during the course of the Obama administration, we had no higher priority than securing the release of Americans detained overseas. Their tireless efforts resulted in the release of at least 10 Americans from North Korean custody during the course of the Obama administration. You know, I guess for me, Curtis, I always find this back and forth still hammering down on the old guard to be really counterproductive, you know?
It's a distraction and a deflection, because the bigger news yesterday was he gave a pass to the president of Red China, President Xi, I call him, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third. Remember when he played footsie with President Xi of Red China in Mar-a-Lago? Remember over the slice of chocolate cake when he said, that's when I decided to tell the president of Red China that we were launching those Tomahawk cruise missiles at that air base in Syria. And he was in complete compliance and agreement, which later on he said he wasn't. But remember, he said he had his very dear friend, the president of Red China, who is now helping us try to rein in,
allegedly,
North Korea.
Allegedly.
And then yesterday he said, while I greatly appreciate the efforts of President Xi and Red China, like, what did they do to help with North Korea? It has not worked out. At least I know Red China tried. What the hell did they try to do?
I didn't know. Was that sarcasm, Curtis? Because, I mean, obviously, I haven't seen them try anything. I haven't heard of them trying anything. And either that was kind of some brilliant sarcasm from President Trump, or it's like you said, it's just an utter and complete pass. Let's go to the phones. Let's check out John from New Jersey. You're on WABC.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm doing great, and you know Curtis, he's been better.
He's always so-so. Is it possible that President Trump, when he made his comment, was when he said about they could have been released earlier, maybe he was just referring to Korea should have let the guy go sooner?
No, I don't think so, John, because obviously if North Korea wanted to let him go, they could do that at any time. I think it was a pretty clear veiled attack at Obama, and I just didn't see the point. That's all.
Okay.
And John, by the way, he was playing footsie with the Red Chinese president. Why couldn't he have gotten the Red Chinese president to negotiate his release? Remember, they are the mentor state. The puppets of the Red Chinese are the North Koreans. They cannot survive without the financial support of Red China.
Point taken.
And yet that never happened. Let's go to Dennis, who is calling from Pennsylvania. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here on WABC. Dennis.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I just want to make a fact known that if Obama had a son, he would want him to be just like this guy that was taken by North Korea. Everybody jumps on the Trump bandwagon. He's bad. He should do more. He's done more since he's been in than Obama did in 8 years.
Tell me what you're talking about, Dennis. What has he done that's so more?
Well, let's go and list 8 years. What has Obama done?
No. You made the statement. You called in and you said Trump. You said Trump. You said Trump. You said Trump has done.
You're playing the race card because you'll never talk out or speak out against their brother. Come on, be honest.
Wait, what? The race card?
Yeah, the race card.
I didn't say anything about race. You just brought up race.
Would you bash Obama?
Of course. Obviously, you don't watch Fox. No, Dennis. Obviously, you don't watch Fox News.
And you're just as bad, if not worse.
Okay. Thank you, Dennis.
Just as bad, if not worse.
I mean, Dennis, come on. Who brought up race? Come on. Let's try Gary from New Jersey. You're on WABC.
Hey, you guys, how are you? Curtis, como esta, my compadre?
Hey, I've had better days.
Curtis.
Yes.
What? All right, first thing, why in the heck do these people go to these places? There's a big, I mean, you do not go where we're not wanted. The guy over there is shy of a full load. You don't go near the guy. He's out of his cabezo.
Yeah, but you see, there's always curiosity. There's always curiosity of those who want to visit. I remember back in the hippy-dippy days of the late 60s and 70s, hippies would want to travel to Kathmandu high in the Nepalian mountains, you know, the Himalaya mountains, but they'd want to travel through Turkey. Mm. How many of them ended up getting arrested? You know, there was a whole movie made about it, Midnight Express, and people would say, don't go through Turkey. They have a policy. If they catch you with drugs, that's it. They not only might kill you, they'll imprison you for life. But the hippies said, nah, you know, they should be like the monks in Nepal. They don't really care if I light up ropes of dope. It's just that there are certain places you're taking inordinate risk. And if all of a sudden there are consequences for your actions, don't expect the United States to gear up to go to war.
Everyone expects us to come in and kick everyone's rear end because two guys wanted to go over there, three guys wanted to go over and say, oh, we were there when some dumb jamoke was killing people. You don't do it. And as for Trump, go, baby. Go in there, kick some butt. Let him know that you're the man.
Yeah, but Gary, forget the North Koreans. It's Red China that we have to put the pressure on. Because the North Koreans cannot function without the Red Chinese. He just gave a pass to the Red Chinese president. In fact, there are bilateral talks today in D.C. between the Red Chinese delegation and the Trump delegation. It's just sitting down and talking about security involving North Korea. Banks support North Korea from Red China. They send resource to North Korea. They send financial aid, and they're not stopping.
So that's the question, right? Are we prepared to enforce sanctions, not on North Korea, but on China? On the banks in China that continue to do business and sponsor North Korea.
And not only that, put our battleships, our cruisers, our aircraft carriers off the coast of Red China. That's nothing to put them off the coast of North Korea. Yeah. Let the Chinese feel the heat of United States naval military might and understand that it doesn't get relaxed until they put pressure on their puppet state, the North Koreans.
There's a saying, Curtis, sometimes people have to be made to do certain things, and I think that's where we are.
This is what I would do. We know that the Red Chinese are responsible for exporting fentanyl into our country. They are the manufacturers. It is what has contributed to the opioid epidemic that we have. More people die now of fentanyl than heroin and Oxy and Percocet and the rest. Why not board some of their container ships under the rationale that we're searching for fentanyl? That will drive the Red Chinese nuts because it will delay their departure. It will delay when the cargo container ships can get to port. It will cost the Red Chinese government a lot of money. And naturally, they'll object to the fact that we're violating their sanctity. But put the pressure on them. Use that as the excuse.
Yeah, it's got to be a lot more than what we're doing now.
1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. It's the brand new Curtis and Ebony Show. Every Monday through Friday, you can listen from 12 to 3. But we need you to spread the word about what's happening here at WABC.
Turn it up!
The stories, the moments, the new midday show.
I fought the law and the law won.
77 WABC and the WABC radio app.
It must be like
and we're back right now to the new Curtis and Ebony Show. Just finished talking about this Red China, you know, have they stepped up? Because I haven't seen it. The president, at least according to Twitter, saying basically thanks for trying, China. But I got to tell you, Curtis, I haven't seen them trying at all. And then we've got the situation with Russia, where clearly there's some tension going on between President Trump and Putin. They were supposed to be besties, but I don't think Putin's appreciating some of our missile efforts going over to Syria, because we know him and Assad are real cool. And I just can't understand how we continue to have some kind of relationship with Russia when there's a partnership with Assad. How does that work? What kind of love triangle is that?
Look at this. We're like bumping, chests with Russia now. We've shot down a Syrian jet. We've shot down a Syrian drone. We've shot down an Iranian drone. And the Russians have said enough is enough. If you violate our sanctity of airspace, which means our, they're talking Iranian, Syrian, and Russian airspace, we will shoot down an American jet. I heard an expert somehow say that'll never happen. The Russians will never shot. Now,
General
wait a
Jack
second.
Keane.
Remember, the Turks shot down a Russian jet. And obviously, it created a lot of tension there. What's to suggest that the Russians, who have been buzzing some of our bombers and our other flights in the Baltic region and right outside of Alaska itself, wouldn't actually shoot down an American flight just to prove a point in terms of this is our area, this is your area, you come into our area, we shoot you down. If we go into your area, you shoot us down. And now instead of collaborating and working together as a team to destroy the enemy to all, ISIS. ISIS, who already has gone into Tehran and killed people right in the House of Congress there and at the burial spot for Ayatollah Khomeini. They've launched attacks in Russia. They've launched attacks against the United States and our allies. That is our common enemy. And yet we're bumping chests with them now. How does that make any sense?
I don't think that it makes sense, Curtis. I think that the United States has to pick a position on Syria. That's the problem. And we have to be consistent. So we can't say, hey, we're going to work with Russia to eliminate ISIS, to your point. But then every time we see the pictures of the babies washed up on the shore, say, oh, no, we have to take out Assad. Because that's what's happening. We are getting, I think, in our own way around a relationship with Russia on that.
We have some sparse communication now with the Russians. We adopt a no-fly zone in which both our countries cooperatively enforce it. Any refugees that are fleeing the war-torn Syria are kept in Syria in safe compounds, which are administered by both the United States and the Russians. Yeah, it's going to cost us money, but at least those refugees will not be fleeing to Europe or coming to North America.
I agree with that.
And once Assad is permanently sure that he's back in power, because he ain't going nowhere, then we can all go about trying to reconstruct the country that we helped destroy for no clear reason whatsoever. No clear reason other than regime change. And where have we heard that before? Going back to Bush 43 in Iraq. Oh, yeah, that really worked.
Yeah, that worked.
Going along with Hillary in Libya. Oh, that really worked. Going along with Barack Obama in Syria. Oh, that really worked.
No.
And yet we're still hell-bent on regime change.
And yet the people of Syria are worse for it. I agree with your idea, Curtis, that we put some fund and some resources into securing a safe space for the Syrian people in Syria. Because what are we going to do ultimately? Absorb every refugee? Have Europe absorb every refugee? It's nonsense. It's complete and utter nonsense.
Anyway, on that note, let's get our news headlines from Ken Duffy.
New for your midday.
Ebony Williams is here.
Curtis and Ebony.
Exclusively.
Bring the noise!
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
I'm too sexy for my car. Too sexy for my car. Too sexy by far. And I'm too sexy for my
This is the brand new Curtis and Ebony show. And when it comes to what's sexy, I think a lot of people will be surprised, Curtis, to find out that the dad bod, and I'm going to define that term in 1 second, but the dad bod is considered quite sexy by most women in this country.
Wait a second. A paunch is considered sexy?
See, that's where you're wrong. Let me define it. See, that's why I knew I had to set you straight. So a dad bod doesn't mean you're gross, super fat, beer belly, all that crap.
Well, it means,
just
you've got a protrusion.
A little, just a little soft. You're not walking around with the six-pack abs and the buff arms. You know, you're just a little relaxed. I call it relaxed ship. And it's not just me, Curtis. Look, even Barbie. The new Barbie line, the Ken dolls came out just this past week, and they have a dad bod in the lineup. They've got Husky, they've got Slim Fit, and they've got a dad bod.
They've got Slim Fit, Husky, and dad bod.
You got it.
Man. So tell me why a woman would find a dad bod attractive, knowing that if it's a dad bod today, it's a protrusion tomorrow, it's a suitcase soon after, and pretty soon the guy is looking like Slob Slabinski and looking back at his marriage photos and saying, what the hell happened to me?
I'm going to tell you why, Curtis, because there's a correlation that a lot of us women make that says a dad bod means more likely to be faithful, a little bit more secure. Maybe you're not so narcissistic. You know, on the Instagram and the Snapchat, the kids tell me these days, you know what every guy's social media looks like? Oh, he's in the gym. He's doing his curls. Oh, one, two. Ah, get out of here. I'm so over that. Now, my very best friend who's on the market for a husband, by the way, you know anybody interested?
Hell no. Okay. Why would I advise somebody that I know to make the same mistakes that I've made in the past?
I don't know.
Are you crazy, girl?
You're the love specialist. I'm just trying to figure it out. Anyways, she's the exact opposite of me. She is very fit and very in the gym 6-7 days a week and cycle and all this stuff. And she will cut a man, fire a dude, if he does not share her body type.
So if he's not buffed?
If he's not buffed, she's out the door. Now, I'm a little bit different. I got to say, this mensfitness.com article here kind of lays out my perception. I'll quote, if you're lazy with a dad bod, then no, thank you. But if you have a dad bod and you're into a healthy, fit lifestyle, then it's definitely okay. That's my take, Curtis. Look, I guess I'm okay being the pretty in the relationship. I don't need a guy to look like The Rock and all cut up and defined and chiseled. I don't need all that. Just give me a nice, smart, ambitious, loyal guy. And you can have a little dad bod. That's cool. I've surprised myself, by the way. Now, if you'd asked me this 10 years ago, Curtis, maybe a different answer. But as I sit here today, I'm not mad at a dad bod.
I hold women responsible for guys developing that protrusion, that paunch, that initial mad bod that you're talking about. Because the moment they get married, all of a sudden, for whatever reason, the woman feels like she's got to be like his mother and feed him and feed him and feed him. Even when he shouldn't be fed. He's already had enough.
What is he, a puppy? What are you talking about? Feed him, not feed him.
Well, because psychologically, women believe, look, we may fall out of love. We may have our difficulties. We may have our arguments. It'll probably be over money first. And then if kids come later on in the relationship, it'll certainly be over the kids. But I never want my new husband to think that I am not going to feed him and give him the food that he's entitled to, because he may have a mommy complex.
Curtis.
He may all of a sudden be comparing me to mommy, who was always stuffing his mouth, always making sure, particularly if the mother was Jewish or Italian, they're constantly feeding.
Or black.
You.
No. Black mamas feed their sons like crazy. You know what, Curtis? You're very naive. Let me tell you the fallacy of your logic.
And then,
there.
Wait, point number two.
Go ahead.
Pregnancy, right? All of a sudden, the woman is having desires of eating weird types of mixtures of foods, the likes of which would normally make you nauseous.
Did your baby mamas crave ice cream and pickles and stuff like that?
They wanted the weirdest combinations of food that when they weren't pregnant, they would never even look at, never mind eat. So it's up to you at 3 or 4 in the morning to get up, go out, get them the food. And what do you end up doing? You start eating some of the food, particularly the ice cream. So that fattens you up. And then when you develop, when you have kids and the kids are raised, they go for Mr. Softy. Well, you're going to get a Mr. Softy too. And all of a sudden you start eating foods the kids can munch up and dissolve and like burn off real quickly. But because of your age, it now starts to add layers on. And all of a sudden, you're sitting there in your sofa, you're watching TV, and you're realizing, I'm getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And you're telling me the wife likes that?
I'm going to tell you, not only
because,
do we like it, it's better.
She likes it because she figures you're not out there.
That's right.
You're not buff. That means you're not going to be attractive to other women, right?
That's exactly right. I was going to say, you're being far too kind and naive on this issue, Curtis.
This is all self-serving.
This is not, I want him to feel loved and special, so let me feed him. No, it's, we don't want you out in the streets. We don't want other women looking at you, so let me fatten you up.
We want you to get diabetes. We want you to get high cholesterol.
No.
We want you to get high blood pressure, because that's the result of getting fat.
But again, Curtis, you're oversimplifying the issue. Dad bod does not equal fat. Dad bod just means a little something to hold on to.
I'm not suggesting that everybody be a skinny Bellini. I'm not suggesting that everyone go through what I go through with colitis and ileitis, which no matter what you eat, it immediately incinerates and it's not going to be stacked on your rack. But I think the women lead the men down that path and all of a sudden say, I love you more than ever before.
Because we do. Because now you're really ours and you can't go anywhere and it's great.
Oh, can't go anywhere. That's what it's all about. Let's go to Al, who's calling from Butler, New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here on WABC, Al.
Hi, Curtis. You know, Curtis, you and I have a lot of disagreements on the radio, but I'm going to say something to you. I agree 100%. Why be a fool and get married again? I did it twice. My third marriage was a very interesting marriage. She passed away this March, March 2017. She was a good woman. But when we got married on my third marriage, what I did was no papers. I signed nothing. We had a wedding ceremony. We were married as far as I was concerned. And if you want to go your way, you go your way. I go my way. You know, all strings cut. No courts, no lawyers, no judges.
I think we got a unanimous consent on that's the way to do it. No division of assets, no community property.
Would that be called common law?
Well, except it doesn't have the legal implications.
Not common law.
Yeah, no legal implications. So it's a commitment. No. They had a commitment ceremony.
Right, but there is no common law in New Jersey. Most of the states have made a decision that if you marry that way without having a legal marriage, through the state, it's not considered binding by the courts.
Good job, now, Al. That sounds like no.
I know this for a fact because I checked into it.
Yeah, that sounds like the smart way to do it. Honestly, Curtis, that'll avoid you all that expensive alimony you always got to pay.
What was it? There's no swapping papers.
Nope.
It's just,
I love you, you love me, I'm going to be here for you, you be here for me, and bada bing, bada boom. But you're still getting dad bod all the way wrong. Let's see if Bobby from Brooklyn can help you out. Bobby, you're live and local with Curtis and Ebony.
Hey, Curtis, Ebony, how you guys doing? You know, Miss Ebony, that study that they're saying that equates dad bods with faithfulness and stuff like that, that's a bunch of nonsense.
Oh, yeah?
Let me tell you what.
Dang, I was banking on that.
Let me tell you what creates the dad bod. That's lack of oblique work. When you work the obliques, it gives you that V taper.
Bobby, you sound like the type that stays in the gym 24/7, huh?
No, actually, I don't, but I know about my body. And thank God that Curtis had obliques a few decades ago. Otherwise, he would have never survived the shots that he got. So having obliques is a good thing.
Bobby,
have you seen Curtis?
I can't find my goiter. I can't find my obliques. Where the hell are my obliques?
Your obliques on your side. It's on the sides, and that's what gives you that
V-taper
look. Okay, on the sides. I'm feeling it now. There's not much there, Bobby.
That's all right, Curtis. Anytime you want to work out, just let me know. We'll get you in shape. 1, 2, 3, Curtis. You know I love you. So anytime you want to work out.
That's so sweet. You should take him up on that, Curtis. No, again, you know, this is my position as I sit here in my mid-30s. I'm good with the dad bod. I really am. In fact, I find it quite attractive. But my best friend thinks I'm crazy. You know, she is just, and she's actually harder on men with the body issue. She's like, you know, hey, I'm a woman. I go to the gym. I do boxing and cycling and whoop-de-whoop-de-whoop. How can a man just lay in the bed and not do anything active? And just be a slob. Like, she is totally turned off.
How can a man do that?
Yeah,
how can a woman do that?
That's her point.
How many times after marriage or after the first child has arrived does a woman just completely bail out, give up, and then all of a sudden, whoosh, they blow up?
Question. If you had the money, would you pay for your baby's mama to have a surrogate to avoid that phenomenon, the blow-up phenomenon?
That, to me, gets a little freaky-deaky. Now, if you had to do it, if you had no other choice.
But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, and I know it's controversial, I'm talking about elected surrogacy for the sake of preserving your hot bod.
No, not for that
reason. Well, you just don't want to sound like that guy.
No, not for that reason. If the woman wanted to carry the child through pregnancy, fine. If she couldn't.
But what if she didn't know? What if she could, maybe, but it was just like, I've worked too hard for this body. I don't want to sacrifice it. You got a problem with that?
Yeah, that's a little too freaky-deaky for me.
Oh, God. Well, you can't have it both ways, Curtis. What are you talking about?
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. This is your place to be every Monday through Friday from 12 to 3, right here on WABC.
Bring the noise!
Studio View and WABCRadio.com.
In the spirit of trying to connect.
A great way to see an angel and a beauty.
There's no doubt.
Take a listen.
Take a listen.
Take a peek.
Turn it up!
Curtis and Ebony, 77 WABC. ABC.
So, call me crazy, but I'm kind of into a dad bod, you know? I'm a woman of a particular age now, and all that huff and puff in the gym, I think it's a completely overrated phenomenon. Just give me a nice guy, Curtis, loyal, hardworking, smart. Forget about that six-pack ab nonsense.
I see. You just don't want that guy out there like a stallion there who may all of a sudden be very attractive to other fillies, right?
I mean, that's part of it.
That's part of it.
That's part
and
of
then,
it.
And then there are the guys who are like the metrosexuals who are totally...
horrible.
Just totally immersed in their own look. In fact, they'll look in a mirror more than you will while you're twirling your curls.
And that's what I don't need. I don't need a dude that's in the mirror more than me talking about how pretty he is. And there's a lot of guys like that, Curtis, you know, and especially in my generation, you know, they are just so narcissistic. You look at their Instagram page and their Facebook and their Snapchat, and it's the gym selfies, you know, it's so unmasculine.
So you're just interested in a guy with a nice pension program and a 401k, right?
Hashtag asset.
Yeah, you see?
Yeah, now that's nice. Don't be hating on that, Curtis.
Because
that's what women are attracted to, Curtis. Stability. Somebody that can provide, you know, some stability.
All right,
for
but
us.
What about if in the course of the relationship, the guy is starting to grow? He's getting larger. He's more rotund. Plumpish, whatever words you want to use to describe his new figure. And you try to suggest that maybe it's time to get a little slim and trim, and he opts not to.
No, that's a problem. That's a problem, because then now that's just flat out lazy. And that's different than dad bod, which really just means, you know, you're not as toned as you used to be. And again, you can still work out. You can have a healthy lifestyle. It's really hard to stay chiseled for some guys. So that's really my threshold, Curtis. I'm okay with a little soft touch, you know, these days. But you can't just be a complete slob. You can't be like Shamu El Jefe Chris Christie. That's not going to work. Let's, if we can, real quick, go to Frank from Rockland. You're on WABC.
I think Frank is still in the midst talking to our producer, Justin B. Love. So let's forget Frank right now because we're out of time. And up next, this is an interesting case because I think it comes up for review tomorrow. A former dominatrix wanted a career in public safety. And she had felt that past had somehow escaped through the cracks. It surfaced during her vetting process. And she's been told that she cannot qualify because of her past in which she pulled out the chains and the whips. And she gave you pain compliance for a price.
She did lie on her resume, too, though, Curtis.
Well, we'll get into all of that.
Come on.
Bring the noise!
guys.
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
Attorney, radio talk show host.
Fox News contributor Ebony Williams.
On this side of the law.
Both sides have extremists.
On that side of the law.
To the millions, I feel this is problematic.
Turn it up!
Every story in the city matters. Every moment of the day matters. Every conversation matters. Curtis and Ebony. Curtis Sliwa.
Now putting aside the politics.
And Ebony K. Williams.
They don't make Band-Aids for hurt feelings.
The stories. The moments. The conversation.
I fought the law and the law won.
The new midday show. 77 WABC.
Cause I may be bad, but I'm perfectly good at it. Sex in the air, I don't care. I love the smell of it. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but chains and whips excite me. Cause I may be bad, but I'm perfectly good at it. Sex in the air, I don't care. I love the smell of it. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but chains and whips excite me. Come on.
7 minutes after the hour or two, Rihanna with her chains and whips and her S&M guard is a perfect lead into the discussion we're going to have over this dominatrix turned cop who has broken her silence right before her administrative hearing, which takes place tomorrow in Hudson County, to determine if she can save her job or not. As we're high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities that have been provided for our broadcast by NJDiet.com, let me introduce you to Christian Hyman. She had applied after, well, for a few years she had actually been in preparation for becoming a member of the Sheriff's Department. She had been a 911 system operator, and then she became an EMT. She's lived in Bayonne, New Jersey, but also lived in Brooklyn, Staten Island, and Florida. And when she was younger, in order to subsidize herself, she was attempting to become a model, a photographer, and an actress. And there was an ad out about appearing in a film. And she went to find out exactly what the project involved. And it involved being a dominatrix and causing men to submit to her will. She said, look, I did a number of videos to maintain my lifestyle at that time. They were super cheesy stuff. It was ridiculously funny. I'm not a dominatrix. I performed as one. It's my part of my role as being an actress. I didn't feel that I had to acknowledge each and every one of the roles that I played when I was giving my initial interview to the people who were vetting me as part of their responsibility to prepare me to become a Hudson County Sheriff's Officer. A judge actually had ruled in her favor, saying that she can graduate from the academy on June 8th. But really, tomorrow at the administrative session, they're going to determine whether she can continue on and actually serve as a member of the Sheriff's Department. So what say you on this, Ebony K. Kardashian-Williams?
Well, if I'm the judge here or the overseer of the administrative hearing, Curtis, this all comes down to one question and one question only. Did this young woman, Christian Hyman, by the way, completely appropriate name here for the facts we're dealing with, did she lie on her job application to be a chef? And here's the deeper issue. According to her, she revealed that she was a model, a photographer, and an actress. Now, look, I'm cool with her explanation that ultimately what she did, putting on the whips and the chains from Party City and getting the costumes and fulfilling the fantasies of these men in a theatrical way, passes as acting. And I can tell you that, Curtis, from personal experience, not because I did what she did, but I spent 5 years in Los Angeles. And my first year in Los Angeles, I knew I wanted to get in media. I didn't know exactly what capacity. So I lived that actress hustle life for a whole year. And you do some real crappy, take some crappy gigs. I mean, I was in commercials for hair, donuts. I mean, just, you can look some of this stuff up online. It's just real, real, real bottom of the barrel stuff.
Will we see you in any Dunkin' Donuts or Krispy Kreme or Winchell Donuts?
Oh, yeah. I had an ad for, what's the coffee, Coffee and Tea Leaf out in L.A. I mean, just a suave online hair commercials. I mean, nothing real glamorous.
Now, let me sidebar you
on that. So I will say that.
Because when you're out in L.A., there's the huge triple X-rated porno industry in the San Fernando Valley.
Yep. I used to live in North Hollywood.
that used to lure quite a few men and women who were thespians, and most of the time, obviously, they didn't have work as actors or actresses, sure. Either busing tables, driving cabs, getting
doing
any
bottle
work
service.
They could.
Yeah, of course, I've done that.
Right. So if within the context of somebody trying to become an actor or an actress, if they were to do films of that nature, would they no longer be an actor or an actress? Because aren't they acting a role in those parts?
No, if you're doing porn, that's porn. And you got to call it porn. Now, I will tell you this. This is, and I think this is her scenario. I'm going to give her a little benefit of the doubt here, Curtis. I remember one time you go on these casting websites. That's what all the actresses and actors use. Casting, LACasting.com, whatever. One of them I clicked on. True story. Hot tub fantasy football. That's what it said. Hot tub fantasy football.
Hot tub fantasy
hot football. Hot tub fantasy football. And it says in the description that they're casting an actress. Age range, you know, 19 to 25, black, white, Latina, and whatever race. And all you have to do is show up once a week in a bikini, be in a hot tub, and read off the fantasy football, you know, updates. So I said, I don't know. Maybe that could be okay. Yeah, I don't know. But then it said it was paying like $2,500 a week. And I said, hold on. Wait a minute. My brain clicked on at that point, Curtis, and I said, I think something sounds a little sketchy about this. And much like this woman, this Kristen, at the time I was married. So I went to my husband and I said, what do you think about this? And he was very much against it. And it's, apparently she was married throughout her entire experience doing this. So I say all that to say, Curtis, that I think at some point you are young, you're making decisions based off of financial hardships. I get that. I've been there. I empathize with it. But we are accountable, even in our youth, particularly as women. You know, you got to put that you got to use your head for more than a hat rack, as my grandmother would say, right? And start thinking, okay, what is this really? Because ultimately, when you you know, professional life continues and grows, you will be accountable for the choices that you've made.
But hold on. They asked her, what careers have you had prior to this? And she ran them down. She said, look, I've trained as an EMT. I've been a 911 system operator. I always wanted to be in public safety. And I was, for a period of time, an actress, a photographer, and a model. They don't then ask you, you know,
what kind of
acting.
Look, I'm all right if that's the truth. But here's the contradiction, Curtis. The sheriff's office, see, they've got a different story. They say that she apparently sometimes saw clients privately for money. And that sounds an awful lot like prostitution, you know, or escorting at least. And if that's what she was doing and not just the acting in these cheesy cornball videos, then that's a legitimate claim by the sheriff's office.
All right. Well, that's what they're saying.
That's what they said. He said, she said.
Right. They'll have to prove that. But the things we do know is if you look at the one video, she's puffing a cigarette. After dressing in a black bra and leggings, she slaps, punches, and curses out a bearded, balding guy, says it sucks to be him, and then she places the chubby guy in a headlock. And at one point in the 21-minute video, the choking man tries to tap out like a vanquished wrestler, and she says, I don't know what that means. Are you doing Morse code? That's pretty funny, right?
Look, Curtis, I think the lady should be able to do her job as a sheriff.
It's like the WWE.
Officer. Yeah, she should not lose her job over this. I am totally with you there, Curtis. But I am warning all young ladies out there, please remember there's a cell phone. People are hate. Because, by the way, how did the sheriff's office even know she did these stupid, corny videos,
Excuse
Curtis?
Why aren't you warning bearded, balding guys out there?
Oh, because you guys don't get judged off it.
We're getting choked out and smacked around.
Because he could be the CEO of Goldman Sachs and nobody would care. In fact, that's probably who it was. But listen, nobody cares about what you guys do. It's us ladies that this stuff haunts us.
Well, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, you determine. You're her administrative hearing officer tomorrow. It's going to determine whether she could go on and become a Hudson County Sheriff's Officer or if she's going to have to seek a new career. She was a dominatrix at one time. She's given up that life. She said it was never her life to begin with. She just acted the part because it was a way for her to pay her bill.
You got to be careful how you pay your bills. That's all I'm saying. I'm not judging her, Curtis. I'm just
Well, we
saying.
Want our listeners to judge whether she should be in lockup in the county jail as a screw or CEO, which oftentimes has a sort of S&M feel to it in a lot of those videos.
Oh, here you go,
Aren't
Curtis.
The correctional officers always sort of dominant
look at where
over their submissive
goes.
Prisoners?
You're trying to make everything into something.
1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Jen, who I believe is calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here on WABC, Jen.
Hello. How are you guys today? I know, forget it, Curtis.
Good job, Jen. Yeah.
Melania Trump is first, in quotes, lady of the United States, and she did some pretty racy stuff in her day. Smoochy with the naked woman and other, you know. So should she be kicked out of that job?
No, not at all. But your point is well taken, Jen, because the Democrats in the presidential race, they some of them use that, you know.
Well, the first
and brought
one
that
to
up.
Use it was Ted Cruz.
Exactly.
Remember
right.
in Utah.
Again, the primary. So this, my point is consistent, right? This stuff does come back to haunt you.
But to Jen's point, when Melania was confronted with that, or at least through spokesperson, she was just acting the roles. She wasn't a lesbian, even though it was like a lesbian scene.
Well, tell that to Vanessa roles. Williams, who lost her Miss America crown over those same kissy woman pictures. Let's go now on our Ramsey Subaru phone line to John from Staten Island. John, you're on Live and Local with Ebony and Curtis.
Yes, hello, John.
We'll keep it moving. Now we'll go to Martin from Newark, New Jersey. Martin, you're on with Curtis and Ebony.
Yes. Good afternoon, both of you. I think that the woman should be allowed to be the sheriff. Because that's what she studied for, and the fact that she was a model, or that they claimed that she might be doing something that she shouldn't have been doing, you can't really hold that against her. That's my feeling.
Yeah, and they can't prove it, so I'm with you there. Legally, I think she should be reinstated. I actually think she should get back pay. I was shocked to see they initially suspended her without pay. That's a bit harsh. I think she should get all her money. I'm only saying, realistically, this is important. As women, we are held to a different standard. It is a double standard. The stuff we do in our youth always comes back to haunt us, and this is a thing you always got to watch out for when you're taking these little side jobs.
The reason that they're trying to fire her is they said she lied on the application. Martin, she told them that she was a model, photographer, and an actress. Would that be a lie?
Absolutely not.
Curtis, you are so naive. It's not about that. It's not about her lying, actually, on the application. It's about the sheriff's office being embarrassed around the notion that one of their esteemed correction officers here has this CD passed, allegedly, and
well,
she's
find out
having these
from
videos.
From all of our listeners, ladies and gentlemen, weigh in on this 800-848-WABC. Should she be fired or should she be rehired? That's 1-800-848-9222. It's Jack calling from Putnam. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here on WABC. Jack?
Good afternoon. They should hire her in a second, put her in the sex crimes unit as a decoy.
Brilliant. Brilliant, Jack. That's just very brilliant.
I mean, she knows what she's doing already. She got OJ Tate.
I like that. The sex crimes unit.
She's never been arrested. She's never committed a crime.
I think that would be a setup there,
technically,
Jack.
Technically, is it a crime if, you see, if I beat up the Mongolooch here, who I
talk about a fantasy.
Want to beat him up every day of my life, this hipster millennial. That's a crime. I get arrested for assault and battery, and he'll sue me.
He just said you had no reach, Curtis. I don't know.
If he tells me, hit me and pays me, right, and it's part of some kind of weird sexual gratification he gets.
I'm sure his fiance is loving this
but
line
is,
of
is that
questioning.
Any longer a crime since he paid
no,
me to
no,
do it?
No, it's consent. He's consented, so no,
and
it's
and
definitely
he's not,
not
let's
a crime.
Say he's not seriously injured.
Right,
right.
And even if he was, you could argue that he consented to it. Let's go quickly right here to Dean from North Vale.
Yes, hello, Dean.
Yeah, hi, I'm on hold.
Well, we're ready
for
you, Dean.
You're live and local, Dean.
Hi, Curtis. How are you? Hey, listen, it has nothing to do with being a woman, and I can tell you why. Because I got fired from teaching yoga and Tai Chi from a prison because on my application I put my name as Dean. But on my birth certificate, it's Stephen Dean. But my whole life, everybody called me Dean, so I put Dean. And they found out after I was teaching for about 3 or 4 months, for some reason, I said I lied on my application, and they fired me.
I got news for you, Dean. They were looking for a reason to get rid of you. There's no way in the world they they lie because you used your middle name. They were looking to get rid of old
Dean. I think there was something a little more than just Tai Chi there.
I'm going to say so, Curtis. When we come back, you tell us, should this woman be reinstated? Should she be able to serve her community as a law enforcement officer? Or, hey, you got to pay the price for what you do in your youth. Call us 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222.
Imus in the Morning.
So far, so good.
And Curtis and Ebony.
You've got good gangs and bad gangs.
I'm going to give it to them.
On air, online, on the app.
It's really good, isn't it?
77 WABC.
We're going straight to the phones with Mike from Manhattan. You're on Live and Local with Curtis and Ebony.
Hi, Mike Curtis. What's up? Listen, I've been going to these dominatrix for about 20, 25 years. If I have extra money in my pocket, I give them 100, 150 extra. They drop their pants for me in no time.
What?
I'm dead serious. I'm going to depend on my mood. Depending if I'm all beaten up, if I'm all, I'm not joking. Who's going to know? I'm not joking. Happened to me last week in downtown.
Now, what is it, Mike, that you experienced by submitting to a dominatrix? What is the sort
I'm getting beaten up. I'm not going to lie to you. I can't do my wife. My wife beats me up. My kids beat me up. But they don't do it the way they do it. I like getting whipped. I like getting the hot wax on my balls. Excuse my language. I love getting urinated. They urinate on me. I love it.
What do you do in your career? What is your job description?
I sell fruit and vegetables, my friend.
Right, you sell fruits and vegetables, so you're in a command position somewhat, right?
Yeah, he's a boss.
Right.
But I've been doing it since a kid, now I'm in my 40s.
You've been doing it since you were a kid? Like, how old, Mike? When did you start
19. But this is not the joke. It depends on no matter how you look at it. If you have extra money in your pocket, you give it to the girl.
So you're saying you think that she's giving it up on the side.
You know,
she's prostituting.
I don't know her personally, so I can't assume. But everyone I've been to, you give them an extra 100, 150, no matter what it is, they drop.
Yeah, but that's really a gratuity. That's a tip.
You know, what does she want more? You know,
no, he's saying he's doing that, and then they drop trout.
Oh, of course. You tell her, you know, you want some more. She goes, what you got, blah, blah, blah. I mean, this is going to happen. I'm not going to do it.
Bada bing, bada boom. Oh, man. So, I mean, I don't know, Curtis. I mean, according to Mike, but let's quickly go to Brandon from New Mexico. You're on Live and Local, WABC.
Hello.
Yes, Brandon.
Hi, yeah, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I'm just saying, I think the lady should be hired and keep her job or whatever, because I don't think people, you know, it's just another case of people in glass houses throwing stones, you know? Everybody has their bones in their closet like Mike, you know? Nobody knows.
No, everybody's got secrets.
Talking truth.
Well, there's no doubt nobody's going to come out and say, oh, I was a dominatrix in order to pay my way through college. But under the ruse that it was part of being an actress at the time, I guess you could say that that's a white lie, a fib?
Yeah, I just think you think she's cute, Curtis, and you want to just give her a pass.
No.
That's what it is.
No, it ain't that. I just think she's well prepared to become a head screw, a correctional officer in the county jail in Hudson. You've never been in the Hudson County Jail, have you?
No. The only jails I've been in, Curtis,
man,
were in North Carolina, where I was visiting my my clients as I would hear their stories and fight for redemption on their behalf.
Passaic County,
yeah.
Essex County, Hudson County lockup are real dives. And let me tell you, some of these correctional officers, they got that dominatrix feel to them.
That's
they like
in
being
your head.
No, it's true.
You
I think
love
some
this
are
fantasy.
Attracted to corrections because of that.
I think you're attracted. So speaking of my days,
well,
at visiting
I have been locked
my,
up a
my
number
clients,
of times.
My clients in jail. A New York judge. I mean, I hate to see this kind of stuff. Scammed out of $1 million. We'll talk about it when we get back.
We're not going to be talking about the dominatrix
I know.
Anymore.
You're all riled up. See what happened. See what you started, Justin Love. A hot mess here. But first, we've got headlines from Ken Duffy.
Turn it up!
The stories, the moments. The new midday show.
I fought the law and the law won.
77 WABC and the WABC radio app.
This has got to be my worst nightmare. You work hard for your Benjamins, you're counting your coins, thinking life is all good. You get scammed out of your hard work money. I mean, this is exactly what happened to a Manhattan Supreme Court judge. She was duped into sending $1 million, a cool $1 million, to a Chinese bank in one of those god-awful email scams, Curtis. I mean, we hear about this year after year, and you think everybody's hip to the game. Everybody knows to see this coming a mile away. And particularly because this woman right here, Justice Lori Sadler, she's a sitting Supreme Court judge. So people kind of think, oh, well, she would know better. She would do her due diligence. She would never fall victim to something as horrific and kind of blatant as this. But no, it happened. She literally got one of those emails. She opened it up. It looked like it was from her real estate attorney asking her to buy some property. So they needed her to wire over $1 million. And she did it, Curtis. She's thinking, and you got to remember, this is a woman, she's 60 years old. I'm sure preparing for retirement, trying to make sure she's securing those important assets to last her through her twilight years. She's out of $1 million. And really, other than NYPD and the FBI investigating it, I doubt she sees a dime of it back.
So let me get this straight. She's a judge in black regal robes. And you coming out of the legal community, you bow always in deference to judges.
Deference to the court. Oh,
they
yeah.
can do no wrong, right? You kiss their tookers. And look at this schmuck. No, make that a putz. She sends $1 million.
Curtis.
Based on the advice supposedly that her realtor or her lawyer realtor is giving her without ever picking up the phone and having a one-on-one conversation with a guy that she's probably done business with before. And just based on one email, decides to transfer $1 million of her assets overseas to Red China. It's like, warning, warning, Macau, Taiwan, Beijing, whatever. You got to be nuts.
Curtis, I'm actually genuinely shocked to hear you have no empathy, no compassion
no.
for this woman.
No.
You know, she's around your age. You got to be getting a little nervous, shaking in your red beret around what's what lies before you financially. And she thought this was going to be one of those real estate deals, give her a little more nest egg. And, you know, no empathy, no compassion.
No. It's just like all those who invested in that swindler, Bernie Madoff. Yeah. Too good to be true. 12% return on your investments each and every year. People knew that that was too good to be true, and yet they continued to beg Bernie, please, take my money. Invest it, Bernie. Give me those returns that I hear you've gotten for my friends and other philanthropic organizations. And people knew it was too good to be true, and they were shoveling money in the direction of Bernie Madoff. And then when all of a sudden reality came in, he was running a Ponzi scheme, everyone was in shock. How could he do that? Except for the Will Ponzi's who owned the Mets. Somehow they seem to have survived with their... Bernie Madoff dollars.
Interesting. And I got to tell you, maybe it's just me, but maybe I got some compassion for this woman, Curtis. Look, I mean, she should have done her due diligence. She should have got on the main line and talked to somebody real. But certainly, I don't think she deserves this. But let's see what our listeners think. We'll go first here to Mike here from Baskin Ridge. Mike, you're on Live and Local with Curtis and Ebony.
Hey, Ebony, you're making this show great. But Curtis, what's going on? No bashing Trump. Ebony takes over, and this is like, it's too easy. But anyway, I hope the only thing that makes this story better is that she's a liberal and she voted for Hillary.
You see, no empathy,
so she
right?
So she deserves
no
it, Mike.
Sympathy
come on,
whatsoever.
Mike. Come on, Mike.
I want to know where she got $1 million anyway.
Oh, I'll tell you that. She probably... now, that's a reasonable question, but $1 million, first of all, in New York, it really ain't taking you that far. Second of all, she's probably netting, I don't know, well over $225 a year. You do that long enough, she should have $1 million. But let me ask you this, Mike. If she was a Trumper, would you also feel the same?
No, not one bit. Too bad.
Oh, okay. So no empathy either way for you.
Honestly, it's a shame. A lot of
there
people
you go.
Scammed.
There
really
you go.
Out there.
Yeah, many,
there you
how
go.
Many years?
And definitely these little old ladies, these little grandmas.
Right. They want their grandkids to be able to go to college. That's what they're trying. They have well intentions.
It's amazing how they know who to get to and how they get to them.
I think they target women. I think, look, I'm going to, and I don't mean this to,
women.
Yeah, I don't mean this to disparage my gender. I'm a proud, strong woman, and most women are that. But there are many among us, especially us women. We are not as aggressive oftentimes. And so someone says, you know, hey, this is a great business opportunity. We might not be as likely, Curtis, to pick up the phone and have that face-to-face or ear-to-ear dialogue.
Well, let's open up our phone lines on this because there are a million different scams of this type that have been out there, actually pioneered by the Nigerians.
No, they got to bring black people into it. There you go.
Well,
yeah,
it's not just
always that, Curtis.
Well, I
got to
tell you,
that.
On the continent of Africa, if you go to the other African countries, nobody wants Nigerians around.
What's wrong? I mean, they're just import-exports, baby. Import-exports.
No, what happens is the Nigerians who speak the Queen's English will work the phones in addition to sending the emails. You know, the emails, that's just basically a lure. They really do their best work on the phones. And they speak the Queen's English so well. You know, they act as if they're an agent of a bank, somewhere in either the Ivory Coast or Nigeria. And if you could please send money over now, because they have deposits that are here in the United States that they'll make available to you. And they'll send out thousands of emails. And then all they need is just one hit. Yep. One hit of somebody who follows up, and then they work the phones. And then they really work you because they know how to manipulate. They do credit card fraud, all kinds of white-collar crime. Like I said, a lot of the Nigerians are despised by other members of African nations who don't want Nigerians moving in, especially in South Africa. I saw that firsthand when I organized the Guardian Angels in Cape Town. Let's go, if we can, to Patty, who's calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here on WABC. Patty.
Hi, my condolences on the loss of your mom. I feel that how could she have sound judgment as a judge when she didn't have sound judgment on her personal finances? I would think they better investigate all the cases that she
All right, Patty. Well, you know, I think a lot of people will agree with you, Patty. I think a lot of people are, but I think that's taking it too far. Let me be clear. I think that this woman, barring some evidence of judiciary misconduct, is as good as a judge as, you know, we can presume anyone sitting on the court. But her credibility is going to be questioned now, Curtis. And Patty's right. There are now going to be defense lawyers like myself who are going to open up. We're going to want to open up every case she ever adjudicated.
I want to say welcome to the show. I enjoy you. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you, Patty. Appreciate that. Yeah, but this is a bad look for Justice Sadler here.
Right, but now that the justice has opened up the Pandora's box, I know there are people out there listening right now say, yeah, I got scammed. Maybe not to the tune of $1 million. Maybe it was just a few $1,000 or $10,000.
Which could still hurt, by the way.
Totally.
Big time.
But please, reveal to us, if you knew of somebody who got scammed, maybe it's not you personally, how this happened, whether it was somebody from Nigeria, the Ivory Coast, whether it was somebody from China, whether it was somebody from the United States who used the same hook. You know, it's almost like you go fishing, you use a hook, and it's too good to be true. Something, some little guy, some little gal in your head tells you, don't go that way. But all of a sudden, you realize, wow, this is my one opportunity.
You know what it is, Curtis? Simple,
this is
Curtis.
My lotto. This is my Powerball.
It's simple. Risk, reward. Risk, reward. And sometimes, even though you know it's the risk, you know that little voice you're talking about saying, the opportunity for the reward. What if it's real?
See,
what if I get that 12%?
I know you
return?
Would never go for a scam like that.
Well, no, because I'm too cheap.
Exactly.
If I play the slot machine in Vegas, Curtis, let me tell you something. I put $20 in. If I get $19.99 out, I'm pissed off all day. Where's my penny?
Then why even bother?
I don't. That's what I'm saying. I don't gamble because I can't deal. I cannot deal.
You're such a sore loser. You lost a penny, right?
Mad. I want all my dollars back, okay?
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. And this goes from the old hustlers who just used to come up to your door and give you some sweet talk and then try to swindle money. You no longer have to do that. They have all the modern technology available.
Some sweet talk. Can you give me an example as to what that might sound like, Curtis?
Well, sweet talk. This is a guy or a gal who comes up, gives you a heartfelt story, tells you how all of a sudden they can take a small investment and turn it into a massive sort of windfall that you'll make.
Got it.
And then all of a sudden, you're so quick to part with the lettuce, the scatole that you have in your lettuce or
life
your
savings.
Pocketbook.
Yeah. Well, for so many of us in this country, it's so hard to save money. You know, we're living check to check. We're just trying to scrape by. So the notion that you could come up with an investment is almost too much to take. Let's now go to Matt here from Westchester. Matt, you're on with Curtis and Ebony.
Hi, Ebony. How are you today?
Excellent.
All right. So my grandfather gets a phone call one day. Random out of the blue, and it's a gentleman who's saying, hey, it's me, it's Steve. My grandfather, 85 years old, he worked his whole life, 45 years for electric company here in Westchester. The gentleman tells him his name is Steve, you know, very generic name. We've got 15 cousins, and one of them happens to be named Steven. So the gentleman continues, all right, I was down in Philadelphia and I got in a car accident. And I got to go to court. The lawyer wants, $900 or something to that effect. Is there a Rite Aid with a Western Union in town? But my grandfather, you know, he knows there's a Western Union in town, and he eventually gets to the point where the gentleman almost gets him to send the money. He got very close to doing it, but he told him, "I'll hang up. The lawyer's going to call you in a minute." In that moment, my grandfather called called my aunt.
Thank goodness.
Confirmed that my cousin was fine. He wasn't in an accident, and you know he shouldn't be sending any money to anyone anywhere.
That's how it looks, Curtis. So. That right there, close call.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. This is the new Curtis and Ebony K. Williams show, K for Kardashian. You can be listening to it every Monday through Friday from 12 to 3. But it's not just yourself. We're conscripting all of you to spread the word and let everyone know of how things have changed here dramatically in the last year, all for the better, on 770 AM WABC.
For your midday,
Ebony Williams is here.
Curtis and Ebony, exclusively.
Bring the noise!
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
Scam masters extraordinaire, fooling even a state Supreme Court judge in New York, getting $1 million out of her account into a real estate deal in China. Oh, man, how
China.
Naive.
China.
Let's go to Peter, who's calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Ebony here on WABC. Pete?
Hey, how you guys doing? So my brother and I were at my mom's house. She's a widow, lives in Connecticut, and the phone rang. It was someone pretending to be a police sergeant from New York City and saying that her nephew, her grandson, our nephew, had been arrested, had the exact right name and everything, and that she needed to send money to bail him out right away, or he's going to be incarcerated in Rikers Island. So the best part is my brother, who has a lot of connections to Connecticut State Troopers, got on the phone and was asking the guy, "Hey, okay, what's your badge number? I'm going to call my buddy, state police." And I mean, you could hear the guy trying to backtrack on the phone. It was classic. But the scary part, they knew our nephew's name, like down to a T, and my mom was ready to open up her checkbook right then and there.
Peter, how much were they trying to swindle from you guys?
It was a couple grand. Yeah, it was a couple grand, and you know they scared her. You know they knew his name. They you know she wanted to help him out.
I'm telling you right now, Peter, my grandmother 1,000% would fall for that. She absolutely. You call up Ebony. We got Ebony. She's going to be taken away. You won't see her for months and months and months. She'll be on lockup. We need you to send $3,000 in an instant.
Yeah, that's what it was. And it said the best part was, yeah, my brother is in a position where he actually does know a lot of Connecticut State Troopers. And once the guy figured that was the legit part of the call, you could hear his like tire screeching backwards. He couldn't get out of there fast enough.
Well, you know, thank God for situations like that, Peter. Curtis. Man, you're just giving these ladies a hard time here. It's real tempting when you love your grandkids. You want to do anything and everything to protect them, even if it costs you a cool meal.
Mm. Meantime, what do you got on the specialist tonight?
We're talking about North Korea, your favorite topic. We're talking, of course, the results. I didn't really think it was a big deal, but this Georgia election everybody's in a huffy about. And the Fox News specialist, 5 to 6 on the Fox News channel.